Good morning and welcome back to the Dumpty Blog's Morning Coffee Podcast, DBMC Radio. Hope you're having a great morning, great day, maybe a cup of coffee. And it's Friday and February 23rd. And hope also you had a great week. It's been interesting with both the Dante readings here in Canto 17 and also a little bit with the investment stuff and NVIDIA for the earning reports. But today we're just going to talk about the ending of Canto 17 and how Dante wraps up this Canto, which is the center Canto of Paradiso. And it's also where he lays out his own biography in many ways, especially this period from his exile, 1302, until he comes to the Scala family in Verona for 1304, and then also he starts talking about the comedy and his concerns, but also how he wants to write it. So the last sentence we had was like Dante's the pilgrim's concern again, that if he is too timid about saying the truth in the comedy, then he will not become one of those who will be like seen as important in the ancient times for future generation, for posterity. And then he continues here in Italian. La luce in che rideva il mio tesoro, ch'io trovai lì, like the light in which smiled my treasure that I had found here. So this is describing Cacciaguida again, like Cacciaguida is inside of the light and there is the treasure and then the smile. Si fe prima corusca, quale a raggio di sole specchio di oro. So it became, or he became like a sparkling or shining, such as the ray of sun, like a ray of sunlight, is mirrored in gold. So this is the reaction from Cacciaguida after the pilgrim has kind of described his slight hesitation about how honest he can be when he's going to write the comedy. And then we're going to get the response set. Indi rispuosa. Then he replied. Coscienza fusca o della propria o dell'altrui vergogna. So the darkened conscience, the bad conscience, either of themselves or of other people's shame, kind of people close to to other people. Pur sentirà la tua parola brusca. They will feel your words unpleasant, you know, brusque or rough to hear. Ma don di men, but nevertheless, rimossa ogni menzogna, remove all lies, tutta tua vision fa manifesta, make the fullness, the completeness, the wholeness of your vision manifest. E lascia pur grattar dove la rogna, and just let the scratch become like the scratching where there are scabs, meaning let the people who are bothered by this be bothered, because this, like, just don't take anything, like put it under the rug, just tell the whole truth and let people just be bothered by it if they do have some viceful actions or if they have some like a bad conscience for a good reason. Che se la voce tua sarà molesta nel primo gusto, that if your voice for them will be unpleasant at the first taste, vital nutrimento lascerà poi, vital nourishment you will then leave afterwards, quando sarà digesta, when it is digested. So then even if people find this unpleasant because they feel maybe that it's right, then it will be like a bad taste, then it will be still nourishment that will be better when it's finally digested. Questo tuo grido farà come vento. This is a beautiful one. Like your scream will become like a wind. Che le più alte cime più percuote, that for the highest tops, the highest summits, will hit. So like the comedy, the whole work of Dante will become this giant scream as the wind that just hits all the tops, meaning here then the popes, the cardinals, the viceful rulers, and so on. E ciò non fa d'onor poco argomento. And this will not make the honor less evident or less proven. So here it ties into the idea of Mars as being like about virtue and the courage to spread virtue, spiritual wisdom into like to other people, into the culture, into society. And he says here that hitting this at the tops of society at the time is actually just even better as an act of engaging with virtue and also spreading it. Però ti son mostrate in queste rote, nel monte e nella valle dolorosa, pur l'anime che son di fama nota. So, therefore, about hitting the tops, it is shown to you in these wheels, like the spheres, the heavens, at the mountain, and in the painful valley, like purgatory, inferno, only souls, only spirits who are of, who are well known, who are famous, who are known for their reputation. Che l'animo di quel che ode non possa ne far ma fede, per esempio che haya la sua radice incognita o ascosa. So, continue the argument that the souls who are listening will not put or not kind of stop and put their faith or their belief or their trust in examples that have their roots unknown or hidden. And then the final verse line, ne per altro argomento che non paia, neither for other arguments or proofs that are not appearing. That's like an inverted argument that this people will not be persuaded, let's say, with examples of souls, of vices, of virtues by souls, if these souls are like unknown, they are hidden, they're anonymous, or if you make other arguments that are not kind of proof, not evident to everybody to see. So in another way of saying this, like Dante is just making the argument that to be effective, to have an impact, to show the reality of the vices, virtues, how this works, how you have your free will and how you use it and how you have your consequences according to how you exercise your free will, you have to use examples that people can relate to, and therefore you have to choose people who are either famous or are known for their reputation in a good or a bad way. So that is the advice that Cacciaguida is giving to the pilgrim, who is now kind of hesitating with his work, like how honest should I be when I write the comedy in the future? and wouldn't this, like, could this make me exiled from all cities in Italy? Will it make like enemies? Will I just have enemies everywhere? And then Cacciaguida is just telling him that you have to do this to have the impact that you are searching for. Like this, as Dante is then seeing as his purpose also, like with his life, to use his talents to do this, to spread this wisdom with the courage of Mars again, then he has to do this. So it's not really like a question of his comfortableness with this. It's just like this is, he's aiming for the impact, and then this is what he has to do. So that is the ending of Canto 17. So if we step back and look a little bit at Canto 17, like this is the center canto of Paradiso, and it's surprising in quite a few ways because it's almost purely kind of secular almost. It's about Dante's life, it's about the comedy, and it's about eternity, with like time contained in a point of eternity. So it's very philosophical and then like secular. There's almost nothing with like the spiritual and the mysticism in this canto. And as he kind of set us up for earlier, like Cacciaguida is just going to talk very plainly. So the tone is just like, it almost reads like a non-fiction description. It's almost like Dante is pausing the whole journey and this mystical, wonderful ascent up into the heavens and just talks to us very directly. Like, it's a bit like, here I am. These are my thoughts about what I'm doing right now, writing this canto, this work of literature, of poetry. And these are this is my thinking behind it as well. So a little bit of a pause after this intensity of the sun, for example, which is very mystical and deep and kind of pulling deep inside of you. And then this is just more like a solid imprint of Dante. You might say in a more philosophical way, intellectual way, like one of the overall, maybe the overall topic of the comedy is to unify you, your soul, with the divine, with eternity, with the cosmos, with being. Just understanding that you are a part of everything, at the same time you are like an individual, autonomous person and soul. So it's both at the same time. But what he's doing here, like at the end of the book, you have the more spiritual unity. In a sense here, you have a bit more like a philosophical unity, that you and your life and what is happening is a part of the eternity of time. And it's also, in a deeper sense, kind of in the pattern way, it's already written. Like everything you go through and live through is already described or defined, you might say, in these deeper patterns of existence in itself. So there is a form of unity, or if nothing else, there's a kind of dissolvement of you, of the kind of the delineation of yourself as standing outside of the world and looking at it. But again, Dante always has it both ways. This is the balance, and the unity is to acknowledge both realities in a sense. So that's all we wanted to say about this one. It's a strangely unemotional, maybe that's another aspect of Canto 17. It doesn't move your heart that much, except for like the sorrow maybe of Dante when he talks about the exile. But then again, you have a bit like the uplifting thing with the virtuous family in Verona and his kind of first refuge, which then leads to writing the comedy. So, but you get also the sense that, and this is a little bit speculative now, but that you do get the sense that he's writing this with kind of a clear purpose, that the world that he grew up in and how it changed and his experiences were an example of viceful forces that destroyed, like they had enormous destruction everywhere, and that he wants to devote his life and his life's work with his poetry to try to change this for the better. So that is one of those underlying themes in this canto. And then we can now look 700 years later that he really did that. So that is kind of you can see that the prophecy like came to fruition, and it has borne enormous, like almost like infinite fruits in the centuries afterwards and into the future as well. So with that, that's all we have for Canto 17. There's a half a canto more about Mars, and then we're going to move up to Jupiter. So hope some of this was interesting on a Friday morning, Friday afternoon. And hope you have a great weekend in front of you. And as always, hope you're having a great day, maybe a cup of coffee or a cup of tea. And we'll be back soon with another episode. See you then.